This message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa.
Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
How's everybody doing this evening? You well?
Amen.
It's always good to hear. I'm going to preach from down here because Gabe did it 2 weeks ago, Quinton did it a week ago, so something good happens when you're down here. So I thought I'd just give it a go. We'll see how things go. Welcome back to Anton and Nikki. They've just come back from Mozambique, an amazing holiday. I was so excited to see them. I ran outside in slow motion just to make it seem emotional. Apparently not. He just said hello and he walked past me. It wasn't great, but anyway. Anton, welcome back. We've got Cornell and Antonella have just come back from Thailand. We've got me, who just came from his house. But yeah, it's amazing to see people traveling, to see life changes, seeing the world, affecting the world. And that is what I want to chat a bit about tonight. I'm really, really excited to see this local body explode in the city and see a city massively changed. That's what I'm excited for. I see men and women here every Sunday worshiping God with everything they have. And it excites me like nothing else in the world. Honestly, this is the place to be. You're talking to your friends, they're saying, what's happening in Cape Town this weekend? Life changes is happening in Cape Town this weekend. Life changes is happening this week in Cape Town. Because life changes is transforming the city. To hear testimony after testimony after testimony. At the Thanksgiving meeting, Gabe will correct me if I'm wrong, but if there's testimonies of what God has done through you, we want to hear those as well. Because we want to hear what's being done in the city. We want to hear lives being affected by the church. We want to hear about the salvations. We want to hear about the deliverances. We want to hear about the healings. Because God is moving in Cape Town. And I also wanted to say that this man sitting over here in front of me, he got the opportunity to honor his brother this morning. I get the opportunity to honor him tonight. He's a phenomenal man of God. I've had the privilege, can we just give him a round of applause? I've had the privilege of, just because I can. I've had the privilege of walking with him for, I think, 4 years. 3 years, because he keeps his tallies. But it's just been amazing to see him guide, to see him lead, and to learn from him. And I know that every single life in this room, I'm pretty sure, has been affected by Gabriel. So Gabe, we just want to honor you, say you are fantastic. And your jokes are good 95% of the time, which is very exciting. And so I want to kick off with a story this evening of, since we are in Christmas, we've been doing this series called There's Something About Mary. Christmas is awesome. I love Christmas. I love presents. I love trees. But I love Jesus. And so this story tonight, I was 6 years old once. I know it's hard to believe, being as big as I am now. But I was 6 years old once. And what used to happen in my house is, you'd wake up in the morning. So what I'd try to do is, I'd try to stay awake as late as I possibly could. Like if I could push it to like 1 in the morning, I'd stay awake. Because I wanted to see what presents my parents took out and put under the tree. So I'd try and stay awake, but at 6 years old, 1 o'clock in the morning, don't go well together. So by 10, I was out, and I was sleeping, and my parents would wake up, and I'd never hear them. I could never understand how this happened. And they'd walk, and they'd put my presents under the tree. And 6 o'clock in the morning, I woke up without fail. Every single year, without fail. I'd wake up 6 in the morning. I don't know how. It was a Christmas clock. It never used to go off, except in my head. And I knew there were things under that tree. So I'd jump up. I'd run downstairs, and I'd see, there were always a couple of little presents, and then one big present. One thing my parents would spend money on, it's a privilege being an only child, because you get spoilt, and there was this one thing that would appear under the tree, and I'd get excited about it. And so on, I think it was either the 6th or 7th Christmas, my dad decided to get inventive, and when I was a young lad, I was not the most daring young lad in the world. I did the cobra for the first time a couple of days ago. I was not daring. I did the teacups. It was as hectic as it got at Ratanga. And so I would run downstairs, and I wasn't a brawly young man. And so I would stay in the house most of the time. If I played with a dog, I'd make sure I took some form of weapon outside with me, just out of fear. Not with your dogs, though, Connor. I love your dogs. But like, I wasn't that kind of guy, but my dad had this great inventive idea. And so what he had done, he had gone and spent some cash, and he had bought me a 100cc motorbike. Now, I had never gone faster than 30k's an hour in my life. This was serious. But I ran downstairs, and I saw this motorbike, and I was like, Yes! I've got a motorbike! My friends would talk about them at school. I had guys who used to race them at school. It was exciting. And so I ran down at 6 in the morning. My parents were still sleeping. I ran down, I sat down, and I stared at it for 2 hours until they woke up. And I had this motorbike under my tree, and it was honestly the most exciting thing in the world. I was like, this is amazing. 100cc, I felt like this thing was going to get me to Durban in 2 hours. That's what it looked like. I was like, this is amazing. And so my dad came downstairs and he said to me, Tyler, are you excited? And I was going crazy. I was running around. I was very, very excited about this present. And there were a couple of other little things, but they weren't that exciting. Tossed them aside. I was like, oh, but the bike. And so my dad wheeled the bike outside, and I followed him outside, and I followed him, and I followed him. And he put the bike, put the key in the ignition, or whatever it was that started it, put some two-stroke in it, and started this bike, and I got scared. So I ran, and I hid behind the door. I was like, I've never heard a sound like this in my life. And so what my dad did was he said to me, Tyler, I've bought this bike for you. We're going to take it for a ride. And I looked at him, and I went, no! And I ran inside, locked my door, and I would not ride the bike. So he went and spent however much money he could on a motorbike that I refused to ride. And for about 6 months, that bike laid in our garage. I refused to get on it. It was too scary. And the story really does have a point. I'm not just babbling. But I ran away from this thing because, number one, I didn't know what it could do. And number two, it just the unknown of it scared me. There was something about this thing that went much faster than a bicycle, that made a noise that sounded a little bit like a lion, and shot stuff out the back that looked very black, that scared me. I wasn't too sure how to deal with this. And I believe that as the church and as Christians, many of us look at our faith and we go, I'm too scared to get on that motorbike.
Yeah.
I'm too scared to delve into the unknown. I'm too scared to go a little bit crazy for God. I prefer to sit in my bedroom, lock the door, and make sure I never get on that motorbike. And my charge to us tonight is that we would get on the bike. I know 100cc peewee is not going to do much for most of us, but get on the bike that God has got planned for you guys. There's something exciting. There's, like Gab said this morning, there's a crackling in the air of what God is doing in the city. But I tell you, when the church stands up and said, we will take the chance, we will go into the unknown, we will have audacious faith in our King, something radical will happen in the city. I believe that it'll stop being one salvation a day, it'll stop being hundreds of salvations a day. Why? Because we are willing to run into the unknown. We are willing to say, Kingdom of God, come. That is a dangerous prayer, guys. We often, my whole way through school, I used to say the Lord's Prayer. We used to arrive at school 7:45 in the morning, line up 7:50, and we'd recite the Lord's Prayer. But I tell you, when I caught on to Jesus, and I read, Your Kingdom come, I realized that there is power in the Gospel. If you believe in Jesus, there is power in the Jesus that you believe in. There's a scripture that says of a group, I think it's Galatians, where it says that you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power therein. Titus, thank you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you.
Yeah.
Let's get a little bit crazy, guys. Let's lose our minds a little bit for Jesus. Let's let go of our inhibitions. Let's get on a bike barefoot and go for a ride. Because Jesus has got great things for us. It's never too late. It's never too early.
Amen.
And it might be scary, but it's never too scary to do it. Why? Because He's got you in His hand.
Yeah.
And He's got a plan and a radical purpose for your life. And so tonight, I want to run through three simple things that I believe if we catch on to, we will see the Kingdom of God explode in the city. And these things occur in Philippians. And when Paul writes to the Philippians, they're a cool church. They're a beautiful church doing amazing things in their city, just like Life Changes. But there's one or two things that he addresses. One of them was the unity of the church. And I believe that God in this city is bringing greater unity to this church. He's bringing greater unity. He's pouring His life into the church in the city. It's becoming unified. It's becoming a church that loves. It's becoming a church that looks outward. That's what I believe God is doing in the city. And so these scriptures are a little bit longer than the normal. But I do believe that there's three things that God is really wanting to bring out of these scriptures. If you have your Bible here, can you turn with me to Philippians 1:6? It starts like this. Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi, and he says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." I want to start there and say that if God has begun something in you, if you are saved, if you know Jesus Christ, He will do the work.
Yes.
You do not have to do the work. That is not a reality in the kingdom of God. Many of us start working. We start believing that if we pray 3 hours a day, if we do this, if we do that, the kingdom of God will come. That's not the case. Why? Because He says so. He says He will bring the good work to completion. Why? Because He started it. It wasn't you who started it. That our minds must be focused. I believe we must remember the day that we were saved and we live our lives like that day. Because that day we knew that Jesus was everything. We'll bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace. We are partakers of God's grace. We are not bystanders. We are not watchers of His grace. We partake in His grace. It enables us. Both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with this affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Wow. Wow. I want to stick into this. It says, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. That your love. I want to say tonight that the most powerful weapon that the church has is love. Because it is counter everything that the world speaks.
Yeah.
It goes against everything that the world speaks. We say love, the world says lust. We say love, the world says riches. The most powerful weapon that we hold in our hands is unconditional love. How do we catch on to unconditional love? We focus our eyes on the King. Because He gives unconditional love. When we see Jesus, we know love. God is love. There is no true love in this world but the love of Christ. And so I believe that as we go into a world, things are tough. We're not going to beat around the bush. We live in a world where things are not that easy. We live in a world where the temptations are big. We live in a world where every second voice is saying, you know what, church? Stop doing what God has called you to do and go do other things. That's what the world says that every day to us. It slaps it in our face. But like I said earlier, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is within each and every one of you.
Yeah.
So we have the power of God in us. And with the power of God in us, we take the love of God to a world that is broken and we see it transformed.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. It takes a little bit of love. Yesterday we went to the carols by candlelight at Kirstenbosch, which was beautiful and really was awesome. And after that, we were quite hungry, so we went to a pizza place on the beachfront. It's an all-night pizza place. And we walked into this place, and it looked quite tatty. It really wasn't the most exciting place in the world. The couches were torn. The tables were very dirty. The kitchen looked very dirty. But anyway, walked in, ordered a pizza, and sat down. And as we sat down, I started to look at what was going on around me. And so there were quite a few drunk guys outside shouting at one another. Not too sure what they were saying, and the couple of words I did catch I won't repeat. Inside was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. There was a group, a family, who had come in, 2 sons, 2 daughters, a mom, and I think it seemed like a sister-in-law or something like that, sitting there, came to get themselves supper at 11 o'clock at night. Then around the corner there's a guy who comes out of obviously a club wearing nothing but an apron. I'm just being honest, this is what happened. He walks into the pizza place and he goes and stands at the, and I think he had pants on, but up here all he had was the apron. And he walked in, goes and stands at the counter, puts his hands on the counter, and starts throwing the pins around. So I look at this, I'm like, hey, that's not cool, but I'm not going to say anything. And then as that happens, another woman walks in who honestly was dressed like a prostitute. It's just honestly, she walked in, and immediately I felt like, oh, I shouldn't be here. So it's eerie for me, I don't really like it, it freaked me out a little bit. And as the night went on, I realized that as these people walked out, I'm not too sure what the family story was, but the young lady that had walked in had obviously had a boyfriend, they were obviously at a party and a boyfriend or something had sworn at her, called her names as she came in, and obviously chased her out. The young man who had no shirts on was a deaf guy, and there was another guy who was sitting very oddly in the corner, and God broke my heart, because I looked at this situation, and a deaf guy and a girl who was dressed like that started talking to one another. She started talking to him. And the words that she mouthed to him were, I love you. I love you. I love you. She had never met the guy. And you know what God said to me? He said, can the church stand up, walk into that place and go, I love you? Can we do that? Because I walked in there and I realized that the only thing that can transform that place is the love of Jesus Christ. Is the love of a King who redeems completely. The people sitting in this room, many of you know the redemption of Christ. And if you don't know it, tonight my prayer is that you would come to know a Jesus that redeems completely, that heals completely, that brings complete freedom. That is my prayer tonight. We live in a world that desperately, desperately needs the love of God. Desperately, desperately, desperately needs it. The next time your neighbor walks out and he's looking quite depressed and he knocks over your gnome in your garden, let me challenge you, walk over and give the guy a hug, because I bet you he needs it.
Yeah.
I bet you he needs it. The next time you're in a shopping center and you see a man screaming at his wife, walk up to him and go, can I help with something? Because I promise you, he's not doing that because nothing's wrong and he feels like it. There's something real there that God is wanting to transform. And we have the Spirit in us that can transform that. God has called us to big things. Second piece of scripture, also in Philippians, it's Philippians 2. And it speaks of, and my kind of crux with this is that the greatest posture of the church is humility. And it says this, it's Philippians 2:3, if you can read with me. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The most powerful weapon that the church has in this world is love. And the most powerful posture that the church has in this world is humility. The church has often taken many different postures, and I believe that God loves his bride and he's working on it. But I believe that when we leave this, the judgment seat, because I tell you there's only one judge, his name is Jesus Christ. And he loves with everything in him. When we leave this posture, and we start going like this, how can I serve you? Leave a city starts to be transformed. When we're willing to get on our knees and wash the feet of broken people, a city starts to be transformed by simple, normal, but Jesus-filled people. The greatest posture of the church is a church who's willing to get on its knees and say, I'll serve a community. Christmas smiles. We don't do that because it sounds cool. It does sound cool. Well done, Gabe. But we don't do that because it sounds cool. We do it because we want to serve a community.
Yeah.
Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve and lay his life down as a ransom for many. He came to serve. Once again, when your neighbor walks out and knocks over your gnome, ask him if you can help him mow the lawn. It's very simple things. Very simple things. When a lady's walking in the shops, I know these are ridiculous examples, but it's simple things that I believe transforms people's lives. The gospel is simple. It's powerful. It's the most powerful thing you will ever see, but it's simple. When an old lady's walking in the shops and she's struggling to carry her bags, gentlemen, grab the bags and carry them. So I promise you, servant hearts transform people's lives. I believe that we're a church who's called to release the kingdom of heaven. God dropped something profound in me. He says in the beginning of Matthew, it says that the kingdom of God is near. So that doesn't mean that it's coming soon. It means it's here. It's tangible. Kingdom of God is near. Matthew goes, Jesus dies. He's resurrected. He ascends. Holy Spirit comes. Then it says, the kingdom of God is within. There's a progression. There's a glory to glory. It's no longer near. It's now within you. Say this with me. The kingdom of God is within. Say it like you mean it. The kingdom of God is within. Awesome. When we start to catch that, lives transformed. That's my passion. I want to see lives transformed. When we start to understand that it's not we who live, but Christ who lives in us. I quote the scripture every time I preach because it's what I live on. When we understand that the kingdom of God is within us, we can walk around and impart the kingdom of God. Because it's in us. It's an overflow thing. It simply overflows through humility, through love. And I want to, I've got a couple of minutes left and then I'll be done. But there's a phenomenal thing that happens in the Bible is who's ever heard of an emperor? Julius Caesar, those guys, emperors. And what would happen is an emperor, when an emperor died and moved on or stepped away, and a new emperor came, there would be something called the good news that would go out. And I don't know if you've ever seen those movies where the guy runs around and he goes, extra, extra, read all about it. That's the kind of thing that happened. And the guys would run around, they'd give out these things saying a new emperor was in town. And this was exciting for the people because that meant that there was a new rule. There was a new system. Things were going to change. It was exciting for the people. And I always thought that we had to be the guys that ran around with the newspapers going, extra, extra, read all about it. But then God said this to me. He said to me, Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the ruler of the new kingdom that we need to bring in this world. But then in another portion of scripture, he says, we are co-heirs with Christ. The kingdom of God is within us. We are co-heirs with Christ. Therefore, we are the ones who release the kingdom of God. Jesus has chosen us as his vehicle in this world. The Holy Spirit in us, the power of God moving, co-heirs with Christ, a kingdom within us. We walk out there, things start to change. And that's what I believe, is we need to shout Jesus. We need to walk with this kingdom in us. And so tonight I want to end with this. It moves on in Philippians, and this is now Philippians 3. I took a verse from every chapter, just to be consistent. It's Philippians 3 verse 7, if you want to read with me. And I wept when I read the scripture. It says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss. Yes, God. We count everything as loss. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. My Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Paul is writing here that my car does not matter to me. I know Jesus. My job does not matter to me. I know Jesus. They are good things. But we count them all as loss in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. And so there's these three things. There's a church who has love as its most powerful weapon. There's a church who has humility as its most powerful posture. And I believe the greatest call of the Church of Jesus Christ is to have a life that is spent for Him. Where we say, you know what, all of this for your sake. That is my charge tonight. That all of this, all of us, every little bit of us, would be released for His sake. That we would say, God, I'm a coin in your pocket. Spend me as you please. Spend me as you please. I really believe that we don't stand up here and preach because we need to fill to 30 minutes of a meeting. Stand up here and preach because I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is changing your heart so that your heart, who is filled with His Spirit, can go out and change a world. That's Jesus' plan. He says He came to save the world. There's a broken world out there, guys. The only thing that's going to transform it is Jesus Christ. Could I ask the band to come up, possibly, if that's right? I believe that tonight we need to respond to Jesus. We need to respond to the call of God. We need to respond to what He has said. And so, what I'm going to ask tonight is, as the band stands, can we stand and I'm going to pray for us. And then I believe we're going to do something a little bit different, and I'm just trusting God with us. But I believe that the kingdom of God that is within us is going to be released in a greater measure in this moment right now. And as it is released in us in a greater measure, so the measure of the impact that we have in the world is greater.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear the testimonies. Can we raise our hands to Jesus? Father, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would come and flood this place afresh right now, Jesus. I thank You, Father. I believe there's lives here that for the last 6 months at work have been hating it. But rather, I believe that God is calling you. I believe there may be a specific word, but God is calling you to be there because He's got intention with you there. Jesus, would Your Holy Spirit come and fill people afresh right now, Jesus. The end of the year, we seem to get tired, we seem to want to pull out, we seem to want to go, cool, we'll leave this until the new year. We go from old year to new year in one day. Jesus never stops working. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that You would come and flood hearts, You would come and flood lives, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would minister into broken hearts right now, Jesus. And You would take Your divine needle, God, and start to sew those things up right now, Holy Spirit. I thank You, Father, that there's a release of Your kingdom right now, Jesus. I pray, Father, as Paul prayed over the church in Philippi, that love would abound in hearts right now, Jesus.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.